So if I preached it last night, you didn't hear it. So God wants you to hear it again. Amen. I get all mixed up. My wife told me the other day, she said, you preach the same message Sunday morning as you preach Sunday night. I said, you're the only one who knew the difference.
I sure didn't know the difference.
Amen. 1 John chapter 2, down in verse 15, the Bible said, love not the world. Don't you get started on what I'm going to preach on. You're way ahead of me. Love not the world, and neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. You won't say what the world is. God tells you right there. A young man, it's his passion. If a young man, then the lust of the eye, as he gets old, and the pride of life, as he gets older. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. It is the last time. I've been having people come in our church. Moved out in a new district. Got a big brand new church. Air conditioner, padded pews, and a nice pastor. I thought everybody would like us out there. I ain't found nobody out there likes us. One fella came in the other day, and Brother Carl Wright, sitting right there, he went over and said, good to have y'all this morning, and good to have you in the service, and would you mind if I came to your home and visited you? And he said, that'd be nice, because I won't ever be back. I'm going to do it in a minute. Little children, it's the last time. And as you've heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And they just never could get in. Just never could get in. Oh, they kind of went along with us. They put up with us, put on for us. They just never could get in. We tried to get them in, but they wouldn't get in. So down the road somewhere, they got out. I know it was all our fault. We couldn't get them in. Some of these old crazy things, you can't run them all. They got in. The man that ever gets in, the church, he gets in. You can't run him off. He'll hang around here 40 years and put up a car like it. I'm amen. That's right. That's right. They went out from us. They're not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. John said, quit worrying about those people. They're not of us. Fellow come to me the other day, just a couple of days ago, and he said, I believe the Lord wants me to join this church. I said, I ain't real sure about that. Oh, you said, Brother Wood, you ought to just got him right in. You can't just get him right in. You can get him in the church, but you can't get him in the fellowship. He'll tap something. Let him hang around about 2 or 3 months, see whether he likes it or not. And I can find out whether I like him or not. Amen? Then that way, all he's got to do is just stay home. He don't even have to move his membership. Now, God wants to help some of you young preachers tonight. I know you think you're going to build a church in about 6 months, but you'll be surprised. No doubt they continued with us, but they went out that they might make it manifest that they were not of us. They're not of us. They want everybody to know they're not of us. But we have an unction. You say, no, you're all crazy. No, we ain't crazy. We ain't crazy. Holy Ghost is around here. You say, I tell you, brother, I can be the whole crowd's crazy. We're guilty. But he's still around here. You said, y'all not very wise. I plead guilty. He said he used the unwise. You said, just a lot of people ain't got no sense. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Just agree with them. Amen. The Bible said, but we have an anointing. Amen? Well, the Bible said, I didn't say that. I'm reading the Bible. From the Holy One, and you know all things. He said, there's some Christians that just about know everything. You say, I don't believe anybody knows everything. The Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One. There's some things that Shady Acres Baptist Church knows that the world don't know and don't want to know. Now, you can't crown it down their neck. You can't shove it down. They just don't want to know it. Now, Brother Don Green, he made a confession. I'm going to make one tonight. I have a hard time dealing with well-to-do people. I get out there on silk stocking roll. I have a bad time out there. I get out in them slums and them get, I'm at home. I mean, I'm one up. I don't have any problem with that. And there's a guy come to my church the other day, and I mean, I've had to pray over that guy. I mean, I had to pray. I said, Lord, give me a pardon for that guy. I ain't got one yet, but I've been praying about it. I'm running around. I mean, you know, he's got everything in the world. Pockets full of money and a big, intelligent brain. You know, he thinks. And he knows everything. And he told me, I went down to his house, and he said, well, I really think the Lord wants me to join that church. I said, no. You better come 2 or 3 more months. Y'all don't have to say amen. I don't care. Just get them all in. That's mean you got so much confusion now. I'm going to tell you something, honey. God ain't never called me to pastor no bunch of goats. Amen, 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 amen. I got a few, but I've been kind of getting rid of some of them. I've shot 2 or 3 of them. Not literally, but I had another gun, amen. But I've had to pray. Walk up on a $300,000 home, knock on the door and say, how are you doing? I mean, I pray about that. I go out and get to a rat, and he ain't even got no door. You can just walk in. I mean, you don't have to worry about knocking on the door. You don't have to worry about the maid meeting at the door. Everybody around has been made. Amen? Amen. All right. But we have an unction from the Holy One. And we know all things. And I've not written unto you because you know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Now, there are just some folks that's not going to put up with us. You said, Brother John, how come they won't put up with us? It's because of the firmness of our belief. Now, it ain't no use. Greg, he said, there ain't no use you getting a liberal to join your church, because you're not going to change your mind. Ain't a bit of use in the world for a liberal to come and join my church, or Don Green's church, and think he's going to change his mind. He's not going to change his mind. What they tell me in communist country, when they take over the countries, they just get all the fundamentalists lined up and shoot them. They said they done found out years ago, you cannot rehabilitate them. You'll never make a communist out of the fundamentalist. They just line them up and shoot them. And so they believe a firm on the word of God, and we're not going to change. Now, why do you want to go down there and find some church member who says he's already saved, he already knows the Lord, and he's a member of a liberal-minded church, and you think you're going to bring him in here and change his mind? He ain't going to change. He has been the head of the board of deacons for 15 years. And he comes over here, he's going to try to get him a board, and Carl Lack is going to take him a 2-before board, and he's going to hit it. Ain't going to get along with us because of the firmness of our belief. We ain't going to change in the way of the world. I mean, we will never change. Ain't going to compromise. I mean, he'll say, well, I'll go back to Brother Carl's church, and I'm influential. Brother Sonny, Brother Woods' church, and Brother Don Green. Now, can't you see a guy going in Don Green's church and walking down there, and he said, I've got 4 TVs. I'm going to give him one of them. Can't you see that? Hey, man, you're nuts. Forget it. Cast it out of your mind. No use trying to get those people to go. We get up here and preach. And if you want to get right with God and believe the word of God, just come on. And he said, you're not our stripe. You feel like you've been striped before you get out of here. We ain't going to compromise. We're not going to conform. We pulled out years ago. We pulled out of Southern Baptist years ago. Their brother Carl didn't pull out. They kicked him out. And I mean, I just told them goodbye. You know, they didn't want Roloff, and they didn't want Lee Robinson. They didn't want the men I knew. I said, goodbye. You don't want me either. I left. And Brother Carl, ain't no use me going down there taking a Southern Baptist church and becoming a pastor. It'll be some good, saved people down there. And I'd have hired that church. Just leave them alone. I'm not going to change. Too old to change. But I'm too mean to change. I ain't going to change. I made up my mind. Guy said to me one time, said, one of them old woods boys said I was a whooping on him. And said, I finally got him down. Said, I just beat his head. He told me this. And he said, you know what that sorry devil did? He said, I got you, Merle Woods. He said, he just reached over and bit me on the foot. Yeah? Yeah, ain't no use trying to change them kind of people. Ain't gonna change them kind of people. The fireness. Listen, we're solid on what we believe. We're solid on what we're gonna preach. We're solid on what we're gonna do. We're settled about this. We're gonna change our mind. I went to school, went to a college in Texas. They brought the rabbi in the Baptist college. Rabbi got up and spoke. 30 years ago, I got up and walked out. I ain't never changed. Then they had the Catholic priest come in there. Said he was a father, but he's dressed like a sister. Had his collar on backwards and his dress on. Come in there and he spoke. I walked out. And I mean, 33 years later, how much worse do you think I am now? And here my men, they went over to the First Baptist Church, Johnny Bassanio's church, and there's a couple of my men walked up. Dan Meadows is here. And they had the priest speaking while one of their head men was down at the convention standing for fundamentalism. I said they had the Catholic priest. But Dan, what was his name? Yeah. In Johnny Bassanio's church, fundamentalist. Ain't no use me messing with them people. I don't hardly mention their name anymore. That's all I'm cussing. Amen? That's right. I'm not going to change. We're the fullness of our belief. We're not going to get along. Now, if you'll just look a little bit here with me, people are not going to like us. They said, you know, they're just red-faced fundamentalists. Now, I didn't do this. But I want you to listen. They don't like the fire that we got in the church. Now, some people are put up with a little fire in the pulpit. And the preacher can preach with a little fire and have the fire of God on him. But if it ever gets out there, Brother Leek, and gets in the pew, and people start shouting back toward him, now they say this thing done got too wild. Yeah. Yes, sir. I mean, they didn't mind them having a little Pentecostal experience and God moving on them. But I'm going to tell you something. When the saints of God got to shouting and the glory of God got to walking around in the church, then that's got to have something here. When the glory got in the church, that's the difference. Oh, yeah, Brother Wood, we'd like to hear you explode. We'd like to hear you preach. We just enjoyed that. But we don't like Sister So-and-so waving her hand because that embarrasses us. And we ain't going to change. We get worse all the time. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, it's the funniest thing Sunday morning. I just singing away, and two or three pastors come in, and one man came in, used to be a member of that church that we bought, Brother Carl, used to be a member of that. And so he walked in and had two children sit down between him and his woman, and about that time they cranked up. I mean, they cranked up, and they just sang one song, and that was enough for him. Boy, then they all went outside, and I taught the Sunday school class. I mean, I ain't been going 3 minutes. He got up and walked out. He said, I was a member of this church, but something's changed. Yeah. He'd been gone so long, he didn't even know it. And this little old shack job he had with him, she had a child, and he'd run his wife off and swap wives and got another, and I found out later, and they come to Shady Acres Baptist Church, and Brother Wood was teaching Sunday school. And this was a Sunday school lesson. Fire! Fire! Oh, they can put up with it. But they don't want nobody singing with tears running down their face and the glory of God. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm telling you something. People are scared of the glory of God. Ask an old preacher the other day, and this man called. I really rejoiced that he did call me, too. I mean, the man been out for years. I asked Brother Weldon, what's his name? Brother Bob Weldon. I said, Bob, what's the matter with that man? I said, that's one of the dearest men I ever known in all my life. He said, Preacher Wood, he said, his wife is scared of the glory of God. And he said, every time that man makes a decision to do something for God, just as long as it ain't going that glory road, it'll be all right. Yeah. You'd like to see a little glory if you're on the piano, like hear a little choir sing, but just don't get no glory in this church. Don't get it ankle deep, waist deep, throat deep, and I mean the glory of God. Why, the Bible said right there, we have an anointing from God. Hey, why'd you go out? They didn't like that Holy Ghost business. No, they don't like that Holy Ghost. Lord, you said the reason I left Brother Wood is, you know, Brother Carl got old. No, the reason you left the Holy Ghost move. Yeah. You didn't even come when he was in the hospital. That ain't your problem. Amen. But y'all all tightened up about it.
Don't like that glory. I mean, you can't explain it. You can't control it. So you can't handle it. Yes, sir. Don't leave the Lord. Find the pulpit there. But none in that pew. None in that choir. I mean, we don't want none out there on them streets. Not that glory. I mean, people out there preaching. And you know, maybe a little choir sitting around out there watching them preaching, waving her hand. They said, where'd them 30? Oh, they all came from White Plains. They come out and have these street meetings and raise their hand and shout. And I believe the church is the place to do that. Last Saturday, Brother Carr, two of my men walked down the street and they're praying, God, give us some souls today. Just give us some souls. They knocked on the door and the woman come to the door and she said, yes, sir, son, what do you need? He said, I just wonder if you were saved. She said, I really am. Thank God, I really am. Well, what are y'all doing? Trying to get people saved? And he said, yes, ma'am, that's what we're trying to do. She said, dear God, bless these two young men. May the power of God come on them. God go out with them. I mean, help them, Lord. Help them, Lord. Win souls. The next house. Person accepted the Lord Jesus. They said, God, that's God. You can't explain that. You can't handle it. Just can't handle that. That glory business. I'm telling you, people scared of that glory. He said, Brother Witt, I have all of my glory on the inside. That's what he tried to do in the temple, but he got out. That's what Jesus said. He had all the glory on the inside. Till he got some transfiguration, he got out. The church! I had all that glory. But on that day of Pentecost, it got out. I like this. I really do. You said I done heard it. I don't care. You're hearing it again. Amen. Yeah, he said these men are drunk with wine. Yeah, they drunk something out of them. But the wine knows, look at somebody. I want you to look. Did you see how Brother Carl acted? I went to church and took one of my influential friends from Mount Airy. And did you see that old crazy man run down the aisle, holler, glory, glory, glory. Did you see him break the guitar string and holler, glory, glory. That's right. Mm-hmm. Don't apologize for me.
Amen.
If you apologize, don't you apologize to nobody for me. I'll tell you one thing, if it gets on around here, I'm going to run down this aisle, stand on my head and shout. I've been looking for me a real nice, clean place to have me a shout out. I've been looking for one. I mean, it's kind of hard to find one nowadays. You better look for it to find it. Because ain't nobody wants to shout with you or fire you. Or they shout against you. Yeah. These people come down to our church and they don't like us. They don't like us. And I thought they'd like, man, I've got two nice trumpets. Four they can blow them trumpets. And I enjoy it so much sometimes I shout over the trumpets. And I thought everybody like, but Carl Wright, when we moved out there in that community, I sure thought all them people that come over and like us. And you know about Carl, ain't none of them come over there like us. Man, listen, that's funny. Would you believe we have 10 or 12 or 15, and we've had 20 visitors in one night come out of that community. And you know none of them don't come back. Wonder why they don't like us. Well, one little old Indian girl, she come back. She come back one time too many. God save her. I'll be saving the rest of them. They come back too. I never have understood a fella running past a water hole, stopping at a tadpole hole to get a drink. I ain't never in my life understood nobody to walk past a clear river and wade on through it and get out there in the middle of a desert and find him a tadpole hole and said, I found me a nice, quiet place to get me a drink. Stick his head down there and 9 buzzers died in it. Man said to me the other day, said, the reason I joined that church is where I could help them. You can't help the dead, honey. You got to bury them, cover them up. Guy said to me the other day, said that fellow's going to resign that church. I said, tell him to sell it. He said, what should he do with the money? I said, give it to me. I put it in the ministry. Last time the preacher was a pastor there, he got killed. He got saved in a prison. He got killed. When he got killed, he went there next morning. He got killed on visitation. And he went there next morning and asked his wife and her pregnant when she's going to get out of the parsonage. And God had already left, but he ain't never been back since. So they got about 14 or 15 people in that great big church. I told them they'd sell it. I'd put it in a trust fund and put it in the prison ministry. That'd be a good place to put that money in the ministry. You say, I don't believe you ought to go around selling churches. That ain't a church. That's a bunch of brick building and land, and they've just been meeting out the last 25 years. Ain't no church. God ain't never birthed nothing, eh? What are y'all looking at me for? what do people dislike us? That's fire in that pulpit. You say, boy, I really love old brother. Like, he talked about your TV. Well, but what I used to really like, I come up here, I really like Brother Lackey. So he started talking about my bullfighting, Richie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's a bunch of bull, too.
Yeah.
Amen. Fire. And then, you know, there's another little thing. I got to think about this thing. But, Tim, the reason these folks don't like us is for our, because of our fondness for the King James Bible.
Right.
Yeah. They're going to fool with one of them little three little pigs or Mickey Mouse or whatever them things is. Or you said, brother, they don't read any different than ours. Did you ever look over there in Luke, I believe it's 23:39, where it says, if thou be the Son of God, come down off that cross. And every other translation, all the little funny translations, it says, since thou art the Christ. Are you not the Christ? You ever notice that? You ever notice that? I noticed that years ago. When a man who claims to believe the King James Bible sat in my pulpit, and John Thompson was there, and Danny Farley was there, and he corrected that verse of Scripture, and so I looked it up. He said, now in the original, he's a King James man, in the original, it's silence, since thou art the Son of God. And I looked at every perversion, and it implies that thief on the cross of us said he was the Christ. Now, if he'd have said he was the Christ, you know what happened to him? He'd have got saved just like that other guy did. If he'd have said you're the Christ, he'd got the same thing that other thief got. He'd have woke up in paradise. So I asked a guy down in Florida, he's a close friend of mine. I said, do you know anything about Greek? He said, yeah. I took a good many years of Greek. I said, can you read it? He said, do you happen to have the received text and the other text too, that old perverted text? He said, I got them both. I said, read them to me. He said, okay. So he got up and he said, it says here in the Greek, there's a question mark in that verse of Scripture. Yes! That'd be the size. What does the other one say? He looked in the other text, in the perverted text in the Greek. He said, that's strange. It don't say nothing. Furthermore, there ain't no writing in there. And so Dr. Doodle Digger just put in there what he thought ought to be in there. And then he said so reverently in the original.
Yeah.
What original? Come out of nuts, original mind. Glory be to God. How come folks don't like us? Because we're fond of that King James Bible. How many enemies has that made you? Huh? There's a young man sitting here and he made a profession of faith and before he'd get to, he done joined four churches in Houston. Every one of them a different brand, different kind. And finally, a Catholic nun gave him, he got saved and got under the tapes and what have you of Dr. Ruckman, and he began to listen to those tapes and began to see those videos, and finally God secured him on eternal security and showed him what the Bible taught, and through all those tape ministers that Catholic nun had sent him, he went down and joined the Independent Baptist Church. And when he joined the church, the service was over, and he asked the pastor, he said, did you ever hear Dr. Peter Ruckman? Don't say that. Ain't no use y'all bragging on these independent men. Most of them don't believe nothing. Don't stand for nothing. Don't do nothing. Don't want nothing. And ain't expecting nothing. And let me say one more, it ain't going to get nothing. You said it ain't correct English. Yes, but it's right anyhow. Amen. 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 The Bible said, thy word is pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Yeah. Thy word is pure. God said, we've got an anointing. He said, we got an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. Why, you take some little old corn crib preacher. I mean, I'd like to tell you something. There's a lot of educated people that are ignorant. Brother Greg Eastep, would you agree with me that you had a B.A. degree and probably a master's degree? The day you got saved, you was totally ignorant. Is that right? And I mean, you had to literally be educated by God. Then after you got educated by God, we had to bring you to a camp meeting, bunch of ignorant raiment like us, and show you something. Now, bless God, that's what you call just eat up with ignorance. Now, you can educate that young and all you want to. But I'm telling you, until God shows up, you're still going to be ignorant. But I've seen some people, bless God, that had a one mule farm and 9 acres of land and couldn't read or write and wouldn't know their name to start box car letters. It wasn't ignorant. They owned the whole 9 acres and the mule too. And didn't know nobody in the community. And believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Now that's a smart man. Paul, fella said to me the other day, I went in a place and one of my men, he said, I want you to go over there. I went over there, had 8 girls as secretaries. And I walked through that thing. And I looked at that thing, I looked around. And he said, what do you think about our business? I said, it looked like a flim-flam to me. When you got 8 secretaries and nothing to sell. I've got 2 ideas going. One of them I ain't going to mention here in the pulpit. The other, I think you're trying to impress somebody. I think there's some flim-flam going on. Amen? And Dr. Doodle did it. I see some old boys get up, didn't know nothing. Couldn't hardly read. Get up and God get on them. They get out in the corn crib somewhere, get a hold of God, lay on the shade tree, drink brass water until God touched them. And when God touched them, they come back and believe the Bible went and done the job. Our fondness for the King James Bible. They dislike us. People tell me all the time, I used to join your church, y'all didn't believe like that. Well, man, how many people, Brother Carl? How many people? I hung in Queer Sunday and said some real nasty remark about Billy Graham. And a man got his wife and walked out on a guy nice as I am. And all I was doing was pulling the rope with that queer on it. That's all I was doing. I had him hung. I thought everybody would want to hang a homosexual Catholic priest. I thought every good Baptist would want to do that. Why? My grandfather wasn't even a Baptist. He wasn't even saved. He got up out of his grave and said, Amen, Jack, let me help you pull the rope. Fondness for that King James Bible. Yeah. Y'all think we're crazy, don't you? We fell in love with it. Somebody said, you know what they do? They worship the Bible. Yeah, that's right. You're exactly right. I'm guilty. The Bible said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And if that's the Word incarnate, then I ought to worship it. You ought to worship anything that's divine. And that's divine. That's the only divine thing around. Man, I'm telling you, many a night I went to bed and kissed them pages. Many a dark hour, Danny preached about them storms. I've been in a storm many a time and opened that thing and found something in there that would go through that storm. And I'd reach down and kiss that verse of Scripture. And said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you said you worship just the written page. No, I worship the writing on the page. That's what God said. I'm telling you, what's written on that page is holy. What's written on that page is divine. What's on that page will go into your heart and birth you into the family of God. That was written on that page to reach in and get you out of sin and drive you down the altar and get you to living right. What's written on that page will take you home and build a home and build a church and build a school and build some time into your... Yes, sir! I worship the Bible. I plead guilt in the first degree. They say, they don't like it. I don't believe that. I got another... Did you ever find anything sweeter than that King James Bible? Did you ever read that little part in Three Pigs, you know? Did you ever read that talk? What do they call that thing? The Amplified Bible. It said, cling to, trust in, rely on, hang on to. I could never get all that. That really would be hard to memorize, wouldn't it? Huh? Did you ever quote the 23rd Psalm in any other Bible? Don't sound near as sweet as it does. The Lord is my shepherd. Had an old friend, an old man that I knew back on the streets, an old character. And his boy came to my church and joined our church. And name of Saunders. And I said, I knew a Charlie Saunders. He said, that's my dad. And I went out there, and every night he'd make his wife, after Charles got saved, his boy led him to the Lord there in the hospital. And every night he'd tell his wife, he said, read me that again, that 23rd Psalm. Read it to me again. And you know, it just so happened. I know it's just lucky, you know. But on that day I preached the funeral, I preached on the 23rd Psalm. God saved that woman just a few weeks later. My, what a book, Sonny. Sonny, I relied on that book all through the years. And I got a list of men that I've prayed for. Old thieves and characters and hoodlums. And I've watched that book save. One of them, Fella Copeland. Copeland ladies called one of the ladies, Brother Carl Wright. I believe my sister led those people to the Lord. Brother Carl Wright preached a funeral the other day. And this boy was dying. Some of y'all had saw him with me, and I took him with me quite a bit, and it took his leg off. He had cancer. And he just would not live for God. And his wife was a real saved woman. And Lewis had made a profession of faith. And somebody called her from Dallas and said, Miss Lopez! And she said, yes. And said, we want to come pray for your husband. She said, don't do it. She said, we're going to pray God raise him up. She said, don't you do it. She said, he had trouble. And he's out on the street and said, he's got peace. He's getting ready to die. And let him die in peace. Done took his leg off, had cancer of the brain. It done run a thing in there about the size of a hair down into his brain. It had an eyedropper dropping dope into his brain. You know what his problem was? He's a dope fiend. You know how he got started? He grew a little marijuana out in his backyard. Grew a little marijuana out in his backyard. Then he got to fume a little hard dope. And then he got him a plant that made that plastic stuff. Got that brother Carl? You preach his funeral. Everybody there, I'm telling you, the Mexican mafia was there. There's all that. Big drug runner, there's all that. God spoke to some people's heart. But his wife would sit there and they brought another drug addict in beside him. He said to her, said, Miss Lopez, he said, I'm 54 years old. And he'd hear her reading him scripture. Reading him scripture to her husband while he's a dying. That Copeland must want to come down and pray for him. One leg off, cancer in the brain. He's going home, buddy. He's going home. God, I told him one night right at the altar. I said, son, you're in the most dangerous place that you'll ever live in all your life. Brother Carl, is that correct? Is that correct, Brother Carl? I told him, I said, Liz, you're living in the most dangerous place that you'll ever live. You're playing at the altar. And I said, you get to play at that altar. And God, for sure. You say, well, you Baptists believe that you can be saved and live like you want to. You're badly mistaken. You said that. We didn't say that. Some of y'all might believe that. I don't believe that. You get playing around that altar, and God will put a hurting on you. You get to making fun and fake and putting on that altar, and God will put something on you soap and water won't rub off. I guarantee you rubbing alcohol won't get it off of you. I guarantee you God will give you your heart's desire. God will let you lay in a hospital. God will let them put a little hair down in your brain. Drop it in there one drop at a time. You say, that don't sound like the God I know. You hear what Brother Mitch said last night about Sodom and Gomorrah? You might have the wrong God. I have fondness for the King James Bible. The fallacies of religion being exposed. 16th chapter, I ain't going to read it. The book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Our Lord exposed the fallacies of rotten religion. And every old fundamentalist and every old Bible believer stands up and warns you that religion is rotten, wicked, ungodly. Man loves God. Man loves souls. He's going to stand up and call rotten religion by its name. I didn't do it. I didn't have no part in the meeting. 1987, you said it Monday night. I know it. But I said it Wednesday night. I'll make sure everybody heard it. When I get to preach again, I'll say it again. 1987, Denver, Colorado. There's going to be a big revival meeting. Billy Graham's going to preach it, and the Catholic Church is going to sponsor it. Yes, there's going to be a revival of rotten religion. And it'll grow and grow. And a lot of Baptists will say, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? At least he preaches the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Sir, if that little boy came down tonight, and I'm supposed to be God's man, and I'm up here preaching, and I got a Roman Catholic priest on it all, and your little boy comes down the altar, and that Catholic priest and sticks a crack in his mouth and hands him some wine, what am I? I'm a false prophet. You sound like that? I care whether you like it or not. True anyhow. Anytime you line 100 black robed Catholics up across the front and let them deal with the unsaved coming forward, they're going to leave her just as unsaved as they came in. You said the gospel was preached to them? Oh, sure. Sure, they put good things on TV. You think the devil could just make it all rotten and wicked? Why, nobody wouldn't watch it except you. Is it just all bad? But put some good on that. Some good. And so somebody gets up and says, Jesus was the Son of God. What Catholic don't believe that? But I'd like to ask you a question. What did the old pilgrim fathers believe about the Roman Catholic Church? It's a great whore. What does the Catholic commentary say about the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation? It says the Catholic Church is the church talked of and the mother of harlots. The Catholic commentary, I read it with my own two eyes, says, that's our church. And I know it's true. Do you know down in South America, some of y'all might have been there, every time a man hits his finger instead of cussing, you know what he says? He says, a la punta. And if you speak Spanish, it says, to the great whore. That's the curse word of all Mexico, South America. A la punta. To the great whore. You say, Brother Wood, that don't sound nice. I know that's why God put that in the Bible. You know Baptists are so thin-skinned nowadays, they can't take nothing. One fellow told me that they said, our pastor got up and apologized for Jim Vineyard in the pulpit because he used that word. I said, sir, it's in the Bible. The fallacies of rotten religion. I better go on. Some people don't like us. They just don't like you, Brother Carl. Y'all not be talking about these modernists and these guys writing these new Bibles and all these liberals. Y'all let these people go and be ignorant. And everybody would love you. But one day you're going to have to stand before God. And God said, we have an unction. And I'm going to tell you something. When a man gets an unction from God, he's going to expose rotten religion. I never will forget Butch Cox, Brother Danny. You remember. Butch Cox said, I believe. One of my best men. Tonight. I believe. All religion's good. And I said, Butch, all religion's bad and wicked. And the Baptist is the worst. Amen. He come 3 weeks and got saved. You're one of the best men I got. You got to expose rotten religion. And when you do that, the lady does. If you go out and ask, go down to the first cafe and stop and ask that, go in there and ask that man in the bar, has he got any bar in a liquor store? Go in the liquor store and say, sir, what do you think about Billy Graham? He said, well, I wouldn't say anything wrong about him at all. No, sir. Okay. How about Bishop Sheen? Well, yes, sir. How about the Pope? Oh, yeah, he's all right. How about Carl Watts? He said, yeah. And why can't we just be the same way? Why can't we just make up our mind that where are we at? And whose side are we on? I know some of y'all look distressed in the state, and you ain't near as hot as you are saying. That ain't what your problem is, amen? That rotten religion. Oh, you said trouble. Look, my grandma lives in that. Well, Granny can be wrong. You need to start praying, Granny, get out of rotten religion. Did you ever notice how hard it is to get them out? Did you ever notice how easy it is to get out of the real thing? I'm telling you, Brother Carl, you've dealt with some people in this town for 20 years. 20 years, Carl, you've got some of them 5 years, and they're still in non religion. And you've brought some people down here and got them saved. And somebody offered them to IRAs, and they moved. Don't take much to get them out of the real thing. You let a man get wrapped up in rotten religion. How many people did you ever see put to Masons? You say, that ain't rotten religion. Rotten as hell. I mean, you know, you take a half zip, lay it on a guy's casket, and say, this speaks of his innocence. He ain't innocent. The Bible said he's guilty. You lay a piece of green thing on that, you get your little piece of this green stuff, and you say, this here speaks of the resurrection. And he ain't be resurrected, he ain't been saved, he's going to hell. I mean, you sitting there, fly. Then when you get through, you said, we'll all meet in a great lodge in the sky. I ain't never read in the Bible about no lodge in the sky. It said there's mansions in the sky. I saw that little, me and old Billy Joe. Right there in California. Oh, you said, by the way, he came out and said you, because he got him Bob Bean. Bob Bean said, in Houston, Texas, and so, oh, I hit you again. Don't look so deathly white. They said that there's not salvation in the blood. They said the salvation is in the death of the Savior. I beg your pardon. Let me ask you something. When they brought that animal down there in the 12th chapter of Exodus, what kept the judgment of God off? Eating the lamb? Or God looking at the blood? The blood! That's what got him off. When that priest went into that Holy of Holies and he had that basin full of blood, he sprinkled a little blood and took a step. Sprinkled a little more blood and took another step. What's he doing, preacher? He's getting on holy ground. And took a little more blood, a little more blood, a little more blood, and finally he got in that Holy of Holies and put the blood on the altar. Not the lamb. The blood. You say you're being irreverent. I'm not being irreverent. What can wash away my sins? My wife wrote it down the other day. You can write and get the tape from Houston, Texas, over Jack MacArthur, get it from. I'm telling you, they're too heretic. If you say that a man is saved by the death of Christ on the cross, you're as stupid as you can be. Jesus Christ came out of that grave. Bob Dean said he didn't come out of there and take that blood and put it there. He said it wasn't but six quarts of blood in Ohio. Well, I got to thinking about that. Harold Lee, if a spoon, how much blood would be in a cheaty throat? You took a little cheaty, a little spire, and just put every drop of, how much would you get? That much. That'd be, now if one drop of a spire's blood could cover your sins for a year in the Old Testament, how much could a gallon of half a dog's blood do? How much could a gallon and a half of God's blood do for you? That's enough blood for the whole world! Oh, God! God, the world don't like that. Oh, we've got to study the Greek. You stupid idiot, you better hear me tonight. There's a gallon and a half blood shed at Calvary. My Lord caught it all in the basin of his hand. Walk into the throne room of God. Sprinkle that blood everywhere. Put it on that altar. God looked at him and said, son, what's all that racket out there in the hall? He said, that's Abraham. And I, he said, tell him to come on in. Come on in. God the Father said, son, if you don't mind telling me, what's that under your arm? He said, I picked him up at Calvary. Come out here! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I don't like us. I don't like us. How come they don't like us? Looks like everybody ought to like us. My finger was clean. I ain't picked up on my nose yet. Nah, I think you need a bath.
How come they don't like us, Brother Wood? Tell me if that financial assistance to evangelize in this lost world. That financial assistance to evangelize in this lost world. Taking up that money. Taking up them offering. I called my wife today and she's sick and she asked me if I could come home. She said, Preacher, she said, last Sunday, one of the biggest missionary offers we've had. She said, I ain't got much to shout about. She said, I thank God. That's a great big offer. Show them how much it was. Last Sunday, there was $1,900 missionary offer. She said, glory be to God. The world says, foolish, foolish. Don't you know you ought to build your gymnasium with that? Brother Carl, I'm being ugly. I asked somebody to talk Greek last night. I said, what does that word gym mean? He said, naked. Did you ever see as much confusion in a church over a gymnasium as is anything? I'm not saying anything. This is my dear brother in the Lord. We're in this gymnasium. And I'm going to say something. This old man's gone one of these days. If you're not careful, everybody's in here playing naked. You ever know gymnasiums? What the school believes on the outside on the campus, they don't believe in the gymnasium. Oh, it's all right to go naked in the gym, but it's wrong to go. It's all right. It's wrong for girls to wear shorts outside, but it's all right for boys to wear shorts in the gym. I've often wondered all these 35 years I've been saved. I wonder how come walking inside of a gymnasium changed the moral code of God?
God hates it. Help me.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm trying to catch my breath. That's financial assistance. I see people. People start giving, you know, to some evangelist. Start giving. Well, Brother Dave Jones was with us. Now, last week, Brother Carl wrote a check out for $1,011 last week. I mean, in a financial gutted city. We prayed. We done everything. How much was offered? I don't know. It's $3,000 something. Thank God. God's man. Nearly 40 people saved in God's name. God's name! Give it to me. I tell you, praise God. What else say? Don't you think it'd be right if we built us a cafeteria here or something? Yeah, if you got the money, it'd be all right. But don't be robbing God's missionary to do it. You don't believe in that. You better read the second chapter of Acts again. A guy asked me one time if I'd read Acts 2:38. I told him, yeah, I read 2:44 too. He asked me if I read Acts 2:38. I told him, yeah, I read Acts 2:45. He said, Barnabas sold what he had. They distributed to the poor. I wonder why that's such a cold. He was shouting out the blood a while ago. Now I start talking about giving and everybody's real quiet. I wonder what that is. I'm going to tell you all that Brother Umberto told me. He said, you know, Jack, we was on them streets fighting. We found out a long time ago, it's better to give than worth receive. Now, anybody in the world knows that. It's just a lot better to give than worth receive. Anybody knows that. Yeah. Boy, when the church starts to get, them old devils start leaving. Amen. You said, don't offend him. Well, Brother Wood, you know, he got 300 or 400 pounds. He ain't going to give none. Let him go. One man said, he's never said yet, years ago. He said, y'all don't know how much I gave this year. I gave $1,000 to that church. There's a man sitting in this service tonight, a very poor man, and I had some well-to-do people, not really well-to-do, but had quite a bit. They left my church because that poor man gave more than they did. But Carl Wright, is that correct? They just couldn't handle it. I mean, one of them just came to me one time, and he said, I want to ask you a question. How does Billy Joe Whitener give that money? Well, I was going to show you how he did it, but I ain't got no dollar to show you. So anyway, he took that penny out of his pocket, and he put it off in place. Okay, right here. See? That's what he did. I mean, Brother Wood, how does that church give such a great mission? They take it out of his pocket and put it off in place. That's right. It's very simple. You want to run a bunch of dead heads off? Just have a bunch of sacrificial gifts.
Yeah.
Get up here tonight and take up a big offering to take care of this meeting and the food and everything. And some people have to go to the bathroom and some have to go see about their babies and some of them teach their baby like Brother Dan did. And boy, I mean, there's all kinds of things going on.
And you just keep on taking up money for the church. And you just keep on raising money for missions. And it'll kind of clean the church up. And they ain't going to put up with us. They ain't going to put up with us. I'm going to get through here in a minute. They don't like our fervency for the souls of men. They don't like us preaching and pleading. Now, I got some men here to verify this. I preached a message in honest before the Lord. I seen that a great crowd of unsaved people. And so I just said, I'm going to preach on hell, but I'm just going to try to. I put it back here in my third gear, kind of idle along through it. Man, I haven't idled 5 minutes. Guy raised up in the back and cursed me out. I mean, one of them aristocrats. I don't know what he was, really. Acted like an idiot. Grabbed his little daughter, went out the aisle, went outside, got outside, stayed about 5 minutes, come back. And he sat down. Then I just ran on the road here and gunned her. I hollered, you're going to hell! You're going to hell! You're going to hell! He jumped up, cursed me aloud, grabbed his wife, ran out of the hall. I waited till he got about halfway down the hall. I knew there was a microphone right over his head. And I said to that microphone, you can rob the day. Coming the day he's going to stand before God. He ain't going to have nowhere to go. Before he turned deathly white, run out the door, Brother Dean Sides followed him out the door, and he said, my daddy's a Baptist preacher. He don't preach out of that Bible. And the Bible that my daddy preached out ain't got the word hell in it. He said. So he went on. He's mad. He cursed. He was mad. And about 4 Sundays later, Brother Carr, he come back. And I said, I got on the pulpit, and I said, you know there was a fellow here the other day? And I said, his old daddy was a Baptist preacher, lost, died, went to hell, and had some kind of old funny Bible. And he said, you didn't do that. He said, Brother Woods, you didn't do that. Brother Carl, did I do that? And he scooted down the seat because he didn't want anybody to know who his daddy was. He said, you shouldn't have done that. See, one time, I stood there and prayed over his soul, asked God to do something to that boy. I wanted him to know his daddy was a liar, his daddy's burning that fire, and his daddy didn't believe the Bible, didn't have a Bible, and his daddy was in a apostate. I wanted him to know it. He walked out that back door, I mean, deathly white. He said, he never will be back. He probably will. He come back second time. He said, well, what I believe you're supposed to sneak up on. How many of you been sneaking up on lately? I believe you just, Brother Woods, you just got to cautiously go by and share something with. I ain't got nothing to share. Most of the people talking about sharing, they're sharing each other's wives and everything else. I ain't none of this sharing business. I'm in the preaching business. Amen? Paul said, and woe is me if I share not. No. Now, you got a funny body? I said the other day, big shot in my family, he said, you got us Baptists have got to realize that these Catholics are just as saved as us. I called home this morning. My wife said, it's a great tragedy to have here. First Methodist Church. She said they killed the assistant pastor, and they was looking for a pastor, wanted to shoot him, but he was out praying God. And they missed him. And I said, I hope it's George. And she said, what? George, he's an assistant pastor, he's a queer. I said, I hope it's George. She said, Jack, you're so irreverent. George, he leads a singer down there. He's the first Methodist Church. He leads the singing. And Ralph helps him. And Ralph plays the organ. He plays the organ. I hope they either shot Ralph or George. Amen. I mean, I went to sleep. I just went to sleep after she told me. She was so upset about it. I mean, the guy walked into First Methodist Church. I said, honey, wasn't no use to shoot him. They already did anyhow. He said, Jack, I believe you're the most ungodly person I ever met. No, you're the most religious person I ever met. But your religion is rotten. Rough! One of my men went down to Brother Carl to hook up the electricity in the First Methodist Church. And 2 queers came out there and said, can we help you? He said, no, I don't think so. You know, I told him, I don't want the job. Then George came out to the car and said, what's the matter? Don't you want to fix it? Well, we have an option. We ain't going to mess with them people. I said, we ain't going to mess with them people. I'm going to give you this last one if I can get my breath. He said, I wish he'd shut up anyway. I know you do, so you ain't going to do it. They don't like us. They don't like us. I mean, five! Some of them Catholics are going to hell. Making joke of a dopey coat. Guy calls himself father and wears a vest and ain't got no youngers and won't get mad. Got that Batman cape on. That Zorro's cop. Amen? Walk out looking like a spook. Red. So and so. God told us a good long time ago. He said, I'm telling you the truth, Jack. He said, I went over there. And he said, I got up real close to him. And he said, I got within 9 foot of the Pope. And he said, literally, my hair stood up on my back of my neck. I said, what time I had 8 foot from a Bimba Burrow and my neck the same time. That ain't all happened to me. Amen. Why don't they like us, Brother Wood? Why don't they like us? It looks like it's nice. A gentleman as darn green is. Tells everybody the truth. Looks like anybody like Carl Lacker. Tells people the truth. Won souls. Preach the party. Looks like everybody in Surrey County would love it. Why don't they like us? They don't like our faith and fellowship that we want with God. We've made up our mind. Whatever anybody else does, we're going to talk to God. We done made up our mind. We don't care if you like us or don't like us. We're going to try to get God to like us. We're going to do those things that are pleased in His sight. We're going to fast when we ain't got no power. We're going to cry in the middle of the night. We're going to call Brother Carl up and ask him to pray. Gonna call Brother Green up and ask him to pray. Call Brother Tim up and get him to pray. And we're gonna ask for the power of God. We're gonna get that power of God on us. And that world don't want that. And that world can sense it. They can walk in the church and they can see it. It says something different about this church. Don't feel kind of funny. I tell you, when a sinner feels at home in a church, that's because everybody in there is just like him. I believe when the first song is sung, the sinner ought to feel uncomfortable. I want him to feel uncomfortable. You remember, Brother Carl, when you first started preaching, how people were so reverent to the church. They come in the church and they sit down on a log or whatever you had. They're scared, Brother Carl. These old mountains, they're scared of God, wasn't they? You know? Church member, they're so sorry, and they're nothing. They ain't scared no more. God brought religion on every corner. They ain't scared no more. We want fellowship with God. Brother John Thompson, and Brother Daniel Farley, and me. You know, Gene Ferreira, man, we travel a lot of miles. We come down the highway one day, and Brother Danny Farley literally got out of his car and took a picture of it. You know, these big, shoddy things, you know, all that money. And we seen a car going down the highway, and it looked like it had a TV antenna on it, sticking up on top. And I looked at a little yellow car, and I said to John Thompson, I believe he was driving, I said, that looks like Gene Ferreira's car. He was a Meridian, Mississippi. He pulled over, and there was something wrong with it. And I stopped and I said, Brother Gene, we had a big van. He said, how you getting along? He talked a few minutes, fellowship, about 4 or 5 of us. He said, I said, if we had a ball, we could just hook your little car up here. He said, I just happen to have one in my pocket here. And I said, if we had a wrench, maybe we could drive down. He said, I just happen to bring one along with me. He put that ball on the back of my big van, Brother John Thompson's van, and hooked that thing up. He got in, right back, pulled his suspenders out, had $3 in his pocket. He's going down the highway and he said, you know, my wife ain't going to believe this car got 125 miles a gallon. We started back from Tennessee, hooked that car back up. I pulled him right down through Louisiana, right to the edge of Arkansas, got him about 20 miles from home. Cut him loose and said, I see you, Brother Gene. You know what I did when we got in that car? Didn't talk about no preachers. Talk about nobody. But John got back there and Danny got that mandolin. John got that banjo. When the boys got a guitar. So, and we start fellowship. We start talking about God. We got an old van, begin to think. Just wanted some fellowship with God and God's people. I'll tell you something, ain't none down there, First Methodist Church. Ain't none down there, probably the First Baptist Church. Ain't used to it enough. The world don't like us because we won't go to their little sunrise church. The sucker don't even believe the Lord raised from the dead. The biggest hypocrite I know is a guy that has Easter Sunday morning service and don't believe in the resurrection. That sucker has got to be the chief apostle. God must have reserved a special little furnace for him to burn him by himself. That's right. And every now and then I hope he fans it. The faith and fellowship that we want with God. You said, Brother Wood, don't you miss going downtown Houston and having fellowship with them people in church? I said, nope. A friend of mine called me the other day and he said, we're having a big battle out here in Texas. I said, me and Dave Jones had a big battle over here, been over here 30 days trying to preach, get people saved. He said, I want you to come, but y'all are going to go fight the state of Texas. I said, won't y'all come over here? We're fighting the devil trying to get somebody saved. He asked me the third or fourth time, when are you coming? I said, I ain't. I said, brother, call him by his name. I said, y'all don't believe in this Bible like I'm believing. Y'all don't believe in that sin question like I'm believing. I ain't coming. And I ain't going. And they don't like me. I love them. They ain't got nothing against me. They're just nuts. Have an unction. I said, have an unction. That's all I want, Carl. I want that unction. I don't know what it is, but I know what I ain't got. I can't explain it. Don't want to. But I know when I get him preached by myself, and I know when he's there. And just to have him there, I don't want no modernist apostate around me. I don't want the world's crowd around me. I don't want these Bible rejectors around me. I don't want these Bible deniers around me. I don't want nothing. I want power in fellowship with God and God's name. Let us pray. Father,